This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from the all-new 2008 Cadillac CTS. Be an original. Visit Cadillac.gm.ca.
I'm Pat Sensen. You're listening to the podcast edition of And the Winner Is. On this week's program, Fixing Jeffrey Buffalo. At a time when school boards are strapped for cash, zero tolerance has become the way to fix problems. At the age of 10, Jeffrey Buffalo was kicked out of his school near Timmins, Ontario. He was in grade 4 at the time. He didn't bring a gun to school, nor was he selling drugs in the playground. In fact, Jeffrey used to arrive at school with his sister every morning on the school bus, neatly dressed with his lunchbox in his hand. And he was officially measured on those school intelligence tests to be in the 97th percentile of kids his age. He also has a severe learning disability. He gets frustrated and loses his temper. He hits other children. The school board doesn't know what to do with him. So they've kicked him out of school in the name of zero tolerance, at 10 years old. He's an Aboriginal child. All over Ontario, grade school children have been expelled from school. First broadcast on the Sunday edition in 2003, here is Karen Wells with her documentary, Fixing Jeffrey Buffalo.
The English Public School Board offices in Timmins are on a little hill in a vaguely middle-class part of town. You wouldn't have to walk far to be in the bush. The Director of Education was in her office when I went round. Too busy to see me, though. Too busy to answer phone calls for several days. This is an old mining town. French, English, native. A solid, well-knit town full of old alliances. Population 43,000. They are interested in education in Timmins. The first plank in the local MPP's platform in the recent election, improve special needs programming in schools. Jeffrey Buffalo lives 45 minutes out of Timmins with his grandparents in a neat little house near Porcupine.
It's all wood stove for you. Did you get those things that were on the dresser?
Where's that letter that we got back from the
Walbridge? Zero tolerance was supposed to stop gang violence in high schools. That's how it was sold to the people of Ontario.
That's the one for the appeal meeting?
But somehow it's ended up dominating the lives of Merv and Marge Buffalo. Jeffrey Buffalo has been suspended 13 times for a total of 167 days. The school board in Timmins has said that unless Jeffrey is fixed, unless a psychiatrist guarantees that he won't ever misbehave, he can't come back to school. So Merv and Marge are scurrying around. They're looking up legislation. They're going to appeal meetings. They're trying to keep their 10-year-old grandson in school.
Well, if you want to help the child, you got to do it. You got to do this, see?
There's ways around everything. And suspension after suspension to me is not...
It's not helping him.
It's not helping any student. If we don't nip this problem in the butt, not just with Jeffrey, but for the majority of students that are being suspended like that, what kind of a society are we going to create?
I'm not pretty sure how you can get on the water across the roof.
I can't. That's what I'm going to do right now. I've mastered it.
Jeffrey is sitting on the living room floor playing video games. His sister Amber is on the couch reading a book. Marge has made tea, and Merv has the last letter from the school in front of him. This is what it says. October 22nd. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Buffalo, Jeffrey is being excluded from attending school under Section 265M of the Education Act. And the principal lays it out. It is the duty of the principal to refuse to admit to the school a person whose presence would be detrimental to the physical or mental well-being of the pupils. And she goes on to itemize what Jeffrey did. September 2nd, during recess, Jeffrey threatened a girl in grade 5, saying, "Get out of my way or else," and raised his fist. September 5th, he punched a girl in grade 4 and gave her the finger. On another day, he didn't do what the teacher told him. He threw a girl's shoe over the fence. He teased his sister. and on what turned out to be his last day at school, he chased a girl who had broken his toy. He swore at her, kicked her, and said to the principal, "I will kill her." That's what the principal put in her letter. Jeffrey's grade 4 teacher, Nick Kudrejko, also wrote a letter. When Jeff has had a disagreement with someone, he has asked the teacher for help. Nick Kudrejko also says, in the episodes he has had with other students, Jeff has not been the person instigating the altercation. But Jeffrey Buffalo is out.
Every child deserves the right to a safe education. The children in that school are not getting it when Jeffrey Buffalo is there.
Heather Bozer has been on the school board for 15 years.
This is a handsome, bright little kid. He needs help. And we are not helping him by allowing him to come to school and misbehave. He's a little wee boy that's worth saving, and I don't think the grandparents is doing him or the board any favor. Somebody has to get a hold of this child and fix him, if he can be fixed.
The board is adamant that he won't go back until he is cured.
Joyce Warren has been a consultant for children and schools for 35 years.
They want him fixed before he comes back, which is very unrealistic. And it's not only unrealistic, it can only be done in the context of treating him within the school. I'm convinced that that would not be difficult to do.
But it hasn't been done. Jeffrey Buffalo went to Whitney Public School for 5 years. No one put in the formal request for special needs teaching for him until October 31st of this year, a week after he had been kicked out of school.
I mean, we have to do something. He does have a right to an education. All these other people that I brought him to all agree, too, that he's a bright child. You know, and then as he gets frustrated, he gets more defiant.
This one's really fun. I really beat my sister at it. Yeah.
What's that for?
It's a microphone.
Yeah. It is.
Okay. Wanna listen?
Yeah, I can.
Mm-hmm. What's happened and how come you're not at school?
I guess it's my behavior. I'm not always that good. And sometimes I can lose my temper very easily. Sometimes kids wouldn't leave me alone and bug me. A few years ago, it's because I had a braid. And now they're pushing me around. I don't know why. And that's all.
Do you want to go back to school?
Yeah. Because I want to learn. So I can get an education.
Merv Buffalo didn't get much education, neither did Marge. Merv got to grade 7, then he had to go out in the bush and work. He ran the trains for the Kidd Mine. He's in his late 50s now, and he took early retirement a month ago to look after Jeffrey. Marge is a housekeeper for a local prospector. They are Jeffrey and Amber's paternal grandparents. Jeffrey's father is around. His mother has disappeared.
We were always involved with them, though. We're always right from the start. Right. When Jeffrey was born, we were there. Same thing with Amber. We were right there for all of them right through. We've looked at slides, pictures, and you could see he was very happy up until grade 1.
About grade 1.
Coming home off the bus and crying and didn't want to go to school. And he started complaining of kids teasing him. Then you could start seeing a change. He didn't want to go.
The bullying, eh?
Yeah, the bullying and teasing.
Everybody was always picking on him.
Yeah, because he still talks about that. Matter of fact, the other day we were watching TV and there was with somebody who got kicked in the groin. And he said, "I had that happen to me at school too." And he says, "It wasn't funny at all." He wasn't probably diagnosed yet, so he was different. And then again, we were trying to teach him his culture too, which is being Native. And he had this nice little long braid. And we had to get that cut off to try and stop the teasing. Is one time we went in and we complained of what they called the wolf pack in school. And the principal did find out that there was a group his age that called themselves the wolf pack. And these were the guys that were going around teasing them. He probably fought back.
stuff like that that was going on.
Jeffrey wasn't doing well in class. The teacher said he needed to work harder. He was suspended for a day in grade one, and the school suggested that maybe there was something medically wrong with him.
We've went through a whole whack of different disorders, looking at reasons as to why that he could be like this. You know, we thought maybe it was bipolar, we thought maybe it was FAS, you know.
Fetal alcohol syndrome.
Yeah, we thought of that, and we've checked everything.
We did a lot of research and a lot of reading.
Yeah.
So much. I don't know how many doctors we've had him at now.
We went to the doctor first. It was our family doctor. It was a school in a sense. We'll say, well, maybe we should...
One doctor, then another, and another, and another. Well, specialists, doctors from Toronto. In grade three, Jeffrey was suspended for a total of 50 days, each suspension a little longer than the last. The Buffaloes began to mistrust the school. Merv began to get angry. Doctor number four said he was surprised that a child could have 50 days of suspension with no further investigation, and if nothing was done, there could be big problems. Doctor number five was the head of pediatrics from the University Hospital in Hamilton. He diagnosed Jeffrey with ADHD and a severe learning disability. Severe. He also made some very specific recommendations about teaching programs and a computer. But those didn't go anywhere because by now Jeffrey was on his second 20-day suspension in grade four. Doctor number six was a psychologist hired by the local school board, and doctor number seven was a psychiatrist Jeffrey saw on a video link-up. The consensus: learning disorders, ADHD, and the potential for a lot more trouble.
You've seen a lot of doctors, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sick about it? Are you feeling okay about that? The doctors?
Yeah, they're just trying to help.
If a doctor says that he needs medical treatment, then I'll respect the doctor's decision. But I also would like, again, to have him with a one-on-one or a coaching system, somebody that he can trust and turn to. But we've already, I think, we've counted seven doctors that already assessed him. What else can we do? And how many other cases are there like that?
No one really knows how many other cases there are, but we do know this. There are 280,000 children in Ontario receiving special education of one sort or another. On top of that, there are 40,000 children waiting to be officially assessed to see if they need special teaching. It can take up to a year and a half to get those assessments done. After that, another 8 or 9 months before the school board is given the money by the province to look after the child. That's 2 years for a child to get frustrated and either brood or explode. If they explode, there's a good chance they'll get suspended. Helen Gertheis is a constituency worker for the local member of the provincial parliament. Parents have been walking through her office door for the past 7 or 8 years.
We've been trying to work with the boards. They're wringing in their hands as well because they haven't had the funding to deal with especially the special needs kids. And so when the school started cracking down on behavior, zero tolerance, these are the kids that get kicked out. They end up at home, not going to school. Some of them, we don't hear what happens to them. They don't fit the mold.
A single mother came in recently. Her mentally retarded son was being suspended for things he couldn't understand. What could she do? Jeffrey Buffalo's case isn't unusual.
What is unusual is that he's had grandparents that have gone to bat for him. Usually the parents or the grandparents or the guardians, whoever, just get swept away. A lot of the parents that we deal with are the ones who are themselves compromised and have no idea how to start to fight or even what to do. They're just at wit's end. They're trying to deal with kids that they can't deal with at home, and nobody will give them any help. And what I'm finding is when we're trying to deal with the trustees or the boards, access is not as easy. Setting up the meetings is not as easy, and they're not as willing to discuss it. Boards don't like kids.
Good morning, Garrett.
Morning. How are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good. Yeah, certainly. I bought a few extra.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, so that's what I brought them for.
Murph Buffalo is trying to organize a parent support group. The idea is to let parents know that they're not the only ones whose children are having problems at school. One woman at the table found her child was being repeatedly suspended in junior kindergarten. She simply took him out of school, and he has never gone back. There are other parents at the table with more stories. And then there are the professionals. A native education worker, a healthcare worker, and Joyce Warren, the psychoeducational consultant who has been pushing for Jeffrey Buffalo's right to stay in school.
I'm getting an increasing number of referrals from physicians, largely, who are concerned about the problems that everyone has talked about. Merv's situation was referred to me last February. We haven't got much further, have we?
Oh, no, it must have been sooner than that. He was referred to me at the end of February.
Joyce Warren knows how the system works. She knew that Jeffrey Buffalo needed special education. She spent time with him. She wrote up a behavior management plan, worked through an individual education plan with the school. She consulted the Buffaloes. She explained it all, and they signed what they needed to sign. Everything was in place. But then the board imposed the condition of psychiatric treatment. Joyce Warren is the first to recognize that boards are in a tough spot.
The politics are very simple. What they've had now, and it certainly affected this board, is a mandatory legislation which says you have to balance your books. And to do so, they have, like a lot of boards, cut back their services. 2 years ago, they let go 17 educational aides that they had working with the board. There was an outcry about that. This is an extreme example, in a sense, because the stories that are getting now that are emerging about keeping kids out of school has tended to be with the intellectually handicapped. Here we have a boy who's well above average in ability, who has problems which could have been easily identified when he was in grade one or two. This boy has missed almost a whole year of instructional days in terms of suspensions. The current legislation gives the administration the ability to exclude children who are providing more problems in the school system.
The legislation also gives parents the right to appeal a suspension to the school board to have a fair and impartial hearing. Joyce Warren recommended that the Buffaloes appeal Jeffrey's suspension last spring.
I'm Garrett Verbeek. I'm a lawyer with Anishinaabe Eskimo Legal Services. I've been involved with Merv for, about 2 years now. I've been with him to the school, talked to principals. We went to an appeal.
Garrett Verbeek went with the Buffaloes to that appeal. When he first got involved with the Buffaloes, Garrett Verbeek was prepared to put things down to an overloaded school system and, to a degree, to Merv's intransigence. He thought it could all be worked through. Early on, he offered a native-run anti-bullying workshop to the school. They turned the offer down. Goodwill gradually evaporated. Whatever faith Garrett Verbeek had left in the system was completely shattered when he sat through the school board hearing last spring, the appeal.
The hearing was a joke. I went out of that hearing. That was the first one I've been to, a school board hearing. And I thought to myself, they don't want to hear what you have to say. And that's what really bothered me about the whole thing. One lady who sat on the school board basically said he was a bad kid, right there. It seemed to me they'd already made their decision before we went in, and they were just trying to justify that in the hearing. It's a totally frustrating process because there's nothing you can do. The schools and the school board can basically do whatever they want, and there's no recourse to the parents or to these children.
Hi, thank you. This is Corrine Miller.
Hello.
Fellow trustee.
Hello.
And I'm Heather.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Heather Bozer. Heather Bozer and Corinne Miller are two of Timmins' three school board trustees. Heather Bozer topped the polls in the recent elections. Corinne Miller came second. Corinne Miller doesn't want what she describes as her damaged voice on the radio. You will hear her words spoken by another voice.
We've got no autonomy anymore.
Both women are frustrated and angry with the way school boards are being controlled by the provincial government. Because of amalgamation, their district is now ridiculously big. It takes 7 hours to drive from one end to the other. They spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on transportation. Everything costs more, and nothing works smoothly. Even zero tolerance, a policy they don't disagree with.
Zero tolerance, to me, it's hardly worth the paper it's written on. You try to implement it, and it doesn't matter how under control the kid is or the family. They just have to hire a lawyer and sue you.
Corinne just nailed it. So that's why the policy of zero tolerance is of no value.
We've had a couple of high-profile cases. One child was in JK, absolutely 100% out of control. At one incident, he went so out of control, throwing furniture and books, it took about 10 staff to subdue him.
If you have a zero-tolerance policy,
it's the teachers' and principals' responsibility to make sure all the kids are safe in the school. So if the child's behavior escalates to the point that you think he's going to kill someone or injure someone and you suspend him, then you're faced with a lawsuit, like with the Buffaloes.
In fact, the Buffaloes have not launched a lawsuit. Another family has. The Lilly family are claiming that their hearing-impaired child was assaulted and kept in a cupboard long enough to carve his initials on the inside of the door with his fingernails. That case will be tried in February. Corinne Miller used to be a special education teacher. She was quite willing to talk about the case of Jeffrey Buffalo.
I'd be happy to make a few comments about it. Yeah. We have this dilemma. Leave him in the school, put all the other teachers and children at risk, and he's threatening to kill them, poke their eye out, chasing them around the schoolyard. So parents phone complaining and they start leaving the school. The parents are calling to have to get medical attention for their child, who is terrified of the Buffalo Kid. His own sister is afraid of him, doesn't want to be in the house with him. The child, I've seen him in action, cursing, swearing. They called the police. He cursed the policeman for half an hour. He was going to kill everyone, wreck this fucking school.
We have parents that are withdrawing their kids from the public school education and putting them elsewhere. You know, getting back to money. When you lose a body, you lose money.
It was the Lilly case started this. Some of the lowlife came out of the woodwork, monkey see, monkey do. This got lots of publicity, so definitely parents pulled kids out of the system. Absolutely obscene, and we have no recourse. We can't say publicly they're lying.
Recourse to any false accusation lies in the courts. The board is certainly defending the Lilly case. In the meantime, the Lilly family is reportedly receiving $1,800 a month from the school board to homeschool their little boy. It always seems to come down to money. But when it comes to Jeffrey Buffalo, these two trustees feel they can't afford to have him in school.
Well, the Ministry of Education cannot talk out of both sides of their mouth. Children are being threatened. Teachers are being threatened. People are fearing their lives. And this board had to make a decision that this one child cannot.
Until he had treatment.
And so now he's now seen eight doctors.
But that's not treatment.
The board's direction was he should seek psychiatric help and get treatment.
If there is no hospital setting, no secure setting for a child where he can be assisted by experts and kept in a safe environment, then what are you going to say? Put him in school and do this and this and this?
If a psychiatrist comes back and says this child doesn't need to be locked up,
he's to be thrown back in the school, and who's going to get sued if he kills a kid in the school?
That's our other concern. What is our recourse?
Heather Bozer would have no problem with Jeffrey Buffalo coming to school if he were perpetually shadowed by a suitably strong young man, an EA, an educational assistant. That is, if the EA were wearing protective clothing and had an alarm system and never left Jeffrey's side.
But I certainly have a problem with an EA who's assigned for 3 hours because that's all we can afford, and then the child is out on their own.
Buffalo Kid, he'll attack anyone who's there, teacher, principal.
Given that you've got this dilemma, that the laws of Canada say every child has a right to an education.
Okay, but the other laws...
How do you give them the education?
Well, we have criminals, child molesters. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe there's a law someplace that says everybody deserves freedom. Do you want them in jail or out of jail? Don't you think you've got a right to be safe in your own house?
Just over a month ago, Corinne Miller was made a member of the Order of Canada. She was cited for her pioneering work in special education and her tireless service enabling thousands of students to reach their potential.
And who is Crystal anyways? Is some sort of Crystal?
This is Dr. Tashima.
Yep.
And that came on...
Merv and Marge Buffalo did take Jeffrey to a psychiatrist as the board requested. Dr. Number 8, a senior child psychiatrist from the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto. The report arrived the day after Jeffrey was excluded from school this fall. It said much the same thing as all the others. A learning disability, ADHD, and it added that Jeffrey was now a defiant child. The recommendations were first and foremost an individual education plan with an educational assistant. There was nothing about secure treatment, about locking Jeffrey Buffalo up. But until the board gets a guarantee from a psychiatrist that Jeffrey Buffalo will behave, they're not letting him back into school.
I can't see how a psychiatrist wouldn't even sign his name to a consent like that. An adult has to be proven in the court of law to be unfit or dangerous to society. And to me, this is what they're asking for proof that he's not dangerous. A school board is asking for that? It's an awful mess, I tell you. But we got to keep on going. He's been through so much. Being over-suspended. And he's got a lot of anger in him now.
So what do you do now that you're not at school?
Sometimes I have to go trap me with Dad.
Right.
Other times I can play this or use the internet. I have to go outside sometimes too, like I did today and got wet. Very wet.
Is it boring?
Sometimes.
The Timmins School Board didn't expel Jeffrey Buffalo, they excluded him. And the words do make a difference. If he had been expelled by the board, there would be a further appeal to an impartial review board far away from Timmins. By saying they've excluded him from school, the board has denied him that final hearing. It was one of those little mistakes that no one caught when they wrote the Education Act. Jeffrey Buffalo's fate rests entirely with the local school board. For the Sunday edition, in Timmins, I'm Karen Wells.
Fixing Jeffrey Buffalo was first broadcast in December 2003. It was recognized with an award from the Canadian Association of Journalists in 2004. You can reach us through our website at cbc.ca/Sirius. Just click on the Drop Us an Email link. And The Winner is produced by Laurie Allen. I'm Pat Sensen. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in, all of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.